Let's talk a little bit about context. As I mentioned before, sometimes we don't pay enough attention to the context in which we are doing ministry. And yet context matters, and especially since the medium is the message. So why is context important? Stephen Covey talks about a time when he was catching the subway. And he is there's a man sitting there, and he's with his children. And his children are running wild on the subway. And at first, he tries to ignore it. And then he starts thinking, wow, this guy really is being irresponsible. He's just sitting there and allowing his kids to just bump into people and run all over the place. And so finally, he gets up and he talks to the guy and says, why don't you control your kids? And the guy responds, oh, I'm sorry, I just came from the hospital and where their mother just passed. And I'm sorry, I just... And at once, Stephen was, he said, oh, wow, I'm so sorry. But he didn't understand the context of what was going on. And many times we don't pay attention to the context in which we are leading. But as leaders, we are responsible for establishing contexts that are conducive to healthy ministry. Again, as Max Dupree said, the first task of leadership is to define reality. Haddon Robinson, wonderful teacher of homiletics, of preaching, he would make this statement, a mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew. If you aren't clear about what you are saying and what you are, if you're not clear in setting the right context, it will be a fog in the pew. And Bob Beale says, focus always precedes success. Without focus, there is no success. If you don't have a well-defined context, then it's going to lead to difficulty. And it's because the medium really is the message. The medium is the means by which something is communicated or expressed. And so what we say does not excuse or override what we do. The setting that you set. For I've been in meetings where youth have gathered and there's no clear focus for who they're going to be talking to. The meeting is set up like they want to have a dialogue with youth, but it's set up as if they're sitting in pews. The flow of the meeting does not fit. The games have been so wild that by the time they want to get kids to listen to a talk or engage in a dialogue, they're set up to not do that. They're going to be too wound up. How you set up your meeting, how you set up the circumstances, how you set all that up, the medium is the message, and the leader's responsible for setting that. Early on, we first started in ministry, I was running my youth clubs out of my home, and I had just gotten married, and we moved in. My wife had set up the house. And a volunteer had picked up the kids from the neighborhood and brought them to my house. one of them, his name was Pookie. Pookie was a wild one. I was a little nervous about him coming to my home and what kind of havoc he might bring on my wife's, well You know, she kept the house really nice. And so it was interesting. I'm sitting there, and I knew Pookie would hit the door first. I see him hit the door. He runs in, and then he stops. And he looks around, and then he calmly goes to his seat. Goes to his seat and sits down. And I just, that was so striking. But I think what happened was he walked in and he did not expect order. Everything in its place. And it just shocked him. And it changed his demeanor and his behavior. And that was a clear case to me of how the medium became a message of this order here. Sit down. Relax. Let's talk about defining reality. Max DePree calls it the first task of leadership. One of the challenges that we face is the urban and suburban dilemma of filling the leadership void. I remember when many of my colleagues would have people from the suburbs come into the neighborhood to work with their kids or work in their programs. And I discovered one of the dilemmas was that when they came in to the ministry, they would come into a... If the ministry was not well-led, ordered, it's as if the urban-suburban people wanted to work together in partnership, but it was so easy for the suburbanite to come in and fill a void. And if that void was leadership, they would fill it. I was pretty critical of my colleagues and of myself. I felt that if we're going to partner, then we have to provide adequate leadership so that when they come, it's a true partnership. And I found that to be the case with young people. I found that I needed to take enough time with our emerging youth leaders to get them established, to say they knew that they could lead, so that when others came in to assist them, say in a summer day camp where our youth leaders designed the camp and taught the classes, that if college interns would come in and work alongside them, they had to work alongside because it's our youth who were the leaders. But there were some humorous times when these college leaders would come in and they'd kind of want to take over. And the problem was they couldn't do it because they were not the leaders. Our high school leaders were the leaders. And it showed. It showed. And so it raised a key point for us when it comes to defining reality, and this is especially true in the urban centers of our world and as we seek help from people outside. If you do not define who you are, others will do it for you. If you do not define your organization, your ministry, and its focus, and its mission, and its direction, okay, and its leadership, if you don't do that, then there's almost an assumption out there that you haven't done that, and so people will come in and they'll do the defining for you. So how do we do that? I find that with youth leaders, one of the greatest challenges is that of organization. We may have a tremendous passion for young people, but we're not as good at organizing ourselves or pressing what we believe are our principles into how the organization operates. It was years ago that I was introduced to Bob Beal and his master planning materials, and it just changed my life. I was a seminary graduate before I was introduced to this. I had been taught a tremendous amount about theology and pastoral care and all the rest, but I did not know about how to lead a Christian organization. A master plan is a group's written assumptions about its direction, its organization, and its resources. And it basically takes you through a very simple process. He calls it a doctor process. Direction, what is your purpose, your objectives, your goals? Organization, how do you define your organization? Cash, resources, where is it coming from? How are you going to generate it? If you have those three things, you have a master plan. But then it's the other three that keeps that plan alive. Tracking. That's dealing with how do you know what's going on in your organization? Are you on track? And then overall evaluation. How do you evaluate your organization? One has to do with quantity. One has to do with quality. And then the last is refinement. The phrase, you never recreate the wheel, but you never stop refining the tire. And so you're constantly... This is a process that when you go through this process, you have defined your organization. You've defined your core values and defined this is why we exist. This is our purpose. And then this is how we're going to flesh it out and carry it out. It is a wonderful, simple process to help people, perhaps like you. I know I was like this. Here I am. I grew up in the neighborhood. I become a Christian. I get thrown into leadership and into ministry, and I do not know about how to think presidentially about an organization. Yet I have this passion for wanting to bring this together for the sake of kids in my community. I found that this was very simple to apply and understand. And later on, we're going to dive into this, into this process, and how you can adapt this, how you can take that, you can use this to help define and strengthen your ministry. So, implications for youth ministry. Context matters. It does matter. When you look in the context of in which you work, the organization, its values, its assumptions, its expectations, all of those have an impact on how you work with young people. It matters. And the context that you create matters. You can create, it, even if you're in a bad organization, you can create a ministry that you're like an island of calm in a sea of confusion. You can do that. And as a leader, you must do that for the sake of the young people you serve. The medium is the message. Okay? We have to pay attention to what we are doing, to step outside of ourselves and say, what are we saying? What are we doing? How are we coming across? Do our behaviors match the values that we profess? The first task of leadership is to define reality. You are a leader, and it's your job to define, this is what we do. This is why we do it. This is how we're going to get things done. And understand that if you do not define your ministry context, then others will do it for you. They will define you. Either they'll come into your ministry and redefine you, or they will tell other people, this is what their ministry really is, because you have not given it proper definition. Some books I would encourage you to read are any of Bob Beale's books, or particularly Strategic Planning, which is formerly Master Planning. And then, again, Max Dupree. He also has written a number of wonderful books. Leadership as an Art is one of them. And I would encourage you to gain some insight and some training from Bob.